I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Starting a business on your own can be lonely and worrying. Selling online multiplies this issue tenfold. Getting expert help is a great way to reduce anxiety, wasted time, and confusion. The Amazing FBA Mentoring Program is in its fourth year of helping sellers to get started on Amazon. By now, we have former clients who have, starting from scratch, done six figures and even in one case, seven figures a year. Obviously, these are not typical results. These are exceptional people. Nevertheless, we can help you get launched faster, safer, and with a much higher chance overall of success. With clients from Melbourne, Australia to Manchester, England, we bring a genuinely international perspective. To find out more, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. Thanks for listening.
So tell me about the dead inventory thing. So that's obviously a very, you know, it's a critical topic for a lot of people. If you overorder and you've got inventory sitting around that's not shifting, that's cash tied up, it's going to be high storage fees, and Amazon.com particularly will, you know, the American Amazon marketplace will punish you quite severely for that these days, especially in Q4 as it's coming up at the time of recording. So tell us how your best strategies for reducing dead inventory. How does that work?
So let's talk about the biggest pain points for dead inventory. So besides the fact you pay to Amazon and of course you pay for this inventory, just think of the following situation. You just got a price quote for one of your suppliers. You purchased some of the products based on his recommendation or intuition or lacking market research. And now you ended up with the dead inventory. Now, let's think about the results of this. So first of all, you spent money. Usually, as a business owner, it's not your money. It's, you know, it's the bank's money. So you're going to pay a debt. Then an interest, sorry for this debt. Then you missed out another good selling opportunity, right? You decided to source bad products instead of good ones. So now you lost twice, right? And now let's add to that most of the people, like, they have, and it's okay, we are all human and it's natural. Usually when we fail, it's hard for us to admit we failed. So we said, hey, it's not a dead inventory. I'm going to pay someone like a junior analyst and he's going to sit and see what I did wrong, or maybe how we can improve our eBay or Amazon visibility, right? How we can make sure this product will sell online. So we're spending another money, a good money, for this bad inventory, instead of taking this guy and ask him, hey, this is the good inventory I sourced not by a hunch or a gut feeling. I sourced it by data I received, okay? And now let's see how we can expose as many potential customers to this. So this is those are the main biggest points. Now, like everything, the reason why we understood why there is a dead inventory and it's a major problem, because some of our customers in our previous agency, we had a great success stories, but some of the products, I mean, they were bestsellers. Some of them were so slow movers, you know, nothing happened. And from time to time, the business manager or the e-commerce manager called us and says, hey guys, you're doing such a fantastic job with some of the products, but what happens for those products which they don't sell? So we told them, we don't do magics, okay? We know to take good inventory, that good product that you were able to purchase in a reasonable price, and make sure people will see them, and to help you with the infrastructure. This is in general. I can't take a slow mover and make sure it will be a best-selling product tomorrow. I mean, if you're the brand owner, and you are, for example, you're a private label seller, so we're talking about branding. It's a different thing. You pay money, you you brand your product, it takes time, and you might, and if you do a good job, you might succeed. But again, people are buying good products. So you should, so the number one rule in order to make sure you avoid of dead inventory is A, to make sure you source or manufacture a good product with demand, okay? Because it's another, it's a different opera. If you want to answer demand or to create demand. And second is, okay, you understand there's a great demand level for this product. Make sure you buy, I mean, source or produce this product in a reasonable price. So for private label sellers, I always say, see your competitors, be able to predict what's going to be your additional cost related to selling this product. Do your, calculate your expected expenses, do reverse engineering, and be able to understand how much you're going to pay for the factory in order to produce this product, because perhaps the additional $1 is going to kill your entire margin. So, and you know, God is in the small details.
God is in the details. I like that. That is a different operation. You're right, I like the analogy. So let's just quickly recap, because I think this is really, really important. I mean, the first thing you said, I think, is the most important, which it comes down to a human trait, which is that we don't like to admit we failed. And it's, I suppose, it's to do with that concept of that Seth Godin calls the sunk cost, which is to say it's really, there's the mentality problem, really, which is I've spent $10,000 on this, $100,000, 5 years of my life, 2 years of my life, whatever it is, on X. And therefore, X has that value to me. But the true value to the marketplace is whatever the marketplace tells you, right? So I really like the fact you flagged that up, because I think it's so, so critical. And you're absolutely right. I'm normally the guy that people call and they say, okay, you've got this product, it's not selling. They call me and say, how can I magically make this launch? And my answer is, well, if your market research sucks and you bought it at too high a price, you sunk. It's already over. You know, the operator's over, as it were. Or if you bought a wonderful product, but it's too expensive, or if you bought a mediocre product that when people get it, they give you bad reviews, you know, it's not going to happen. So I really like the fact that basically it's all about 80-20, right? That's my response, my take on this. But give me your take. There are some products that are going to go crazy and sell really well, some that sell okay, and some that are just dud. And if they're dud, I guess you just need to abandon them. And that's more or less what you had a policy at the agency, right? You didn't spend lots of time trying to, you know, push a boulder uphill. You just let it lie there because it was a bad choice. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, I couldn't phrase it better. And, you know, we are all women people, and most of us are entrepreneurs and business persons. And it's not easy to admit, hey, I took a bad decision. But sometimes it's the best for you, your time, your energy, and your money, and your business to say, okay, that was a bad business decision, but I'm a smart person. I'm going to learn from it. My next procurement would be much better because it would be based on data. And
yeah,
and eventually, we can, you know, creative is super important. Thinking out of the box is super important. But eventually, the data is out there. Just let someone grab it, find it for you, collect it, analyze it for you, and serve it to you. So you will be able to make better business decisions.
I like that. So serving up the data on the plate. I like it. So, so assuming that you're going to make a certain amount of less than optimal decisions, so we say not necessarily bad. That's the thing. If something's really, really bad, you normally know about it, but it's that gray area in between, right? So what do we do with reducing semi-dead inventory? That's moving, but not very fast.
So, okay, great question. And as far as I can see it, there are two aspects. First aspect is you just performed a market research and the results is not, you know, you can tell it's not going to be a killer, but in addition, it's not, you know, it has some traffic, it has some kind of demand level, and you understand it's a bet. So first of all, you understand it's a bigger bet. This is a progress, right? Because you have the data. And if you bet on this product based on data, it's your call. Okay. And if you're, so this is one thing. And in addition, If you bet on a product based on data, perhaps you can spend less money on it. I mean, if you're a reseller, so you source only 20 units instead of 200. If you're a private seller, so you're going to search for a factory that offers a lower MOQ, minimum of quantity, so you actually reduce your risk, right? Now, that was before you sourced or produced your product. Now, what happens if you already have your product and you understand that this product won't make you rich, but it has a decent chance to be sold, to get sold. So in this case, first of all, AlgoPix shows you different insights about 16 different markets, as I mentioned before, 7 of eBay, 8 of Amazon and Walmart. So perhaps the answer for you would be international expansion, not selling only in the UK or in the US, perhaps selling it in Australia. And maybe you will be able to, you will understand the demand is low, or and the only way for you to get rid of this inventory, semi-dead inventory, would be selling it for a, you know, for your cost price, or so you want, so your margin will be zero, but at least you get rid of it. And who knows, maybe next month it will be much easier and you would be able to sell it only for cost minus. So this is how I see it. First, be able to understand before you source or produce your product that this is not a winner, but be able to bet on it. Secondly, is to have, you already have this product, so perhaps your solution is reducing the price or maybe sell it in a different market that you didn't, you know, that you weren't thinking of.
Great. And, you know, for a lot of experienced sellers listening, they'll be nodding their head and go, well, yeah, this is common sense. But I think it needs to be said, because a lot of the time common sense leaves the building once our ego is involved, as we've talked about before, and denial starts happening. We go, oh, I'm going to make this product work. And that's not how it works in Amazon marketplaces anyway. And I don't think anywhere really, especially not Amazon. But yeah, international expansion, be prepared to move it at cost price. And I really like what you said as well. If you're not sure that it looks like a real winner, but you're willing to take a bet, then make a small bet, basically. Place a small bet proportional to the sort of questionable nature, if you like, of the demand. And that's really something I really, really push people to do, is if they're starting out from scratch, is not to do the classic private label thing that I was taught back in the day. And 2014, you could kind of get away with it to a degree, but buying $5,000 worth of inventory when you're not really certain of it is not a smart play. And as you say, there are factories that will work with you to do small MOQs or sort of test runs, and some that won't. And I think reducing risk is really critical. So I couldn't agree with you more on that. So just wanted to reiterate that, because anyone who's listening, please don't go in and spend all of your money on one product without any experience. It's just not wise. So tell me about a couple of other details, and with market research, is it important to assess taxes? Is that really relevant these days? Is it big enough, or is that just going to add to confusion?
So taxes are part of the game, right? We know that the world is flat today when it comes to e-commerce. However, taxes are there. So AlgoPix provides a taxes estimation because, of course, when you produce your own products, the tax structure is based on many factors, and some of them are customized factors. But usually when AlgoPix tells you, hey, you will have to pay additional $30 in taxes in order to make this transaction happen, usually this international transaction happen, so you will probably have to add $30, maybe 32, maybe 27, but it's there, and perhaps you should discuss that with your CPA or just to make sure you are familiar with it. Because again, many people, they say, "Hey, you know, I want to tell you a story. Back then, I think it was 2011 when we just started our e-commerce agency that was acquired eventually. So we visited the biggest retail companies in Europe, in Israel. We had several customers in the US as well. And, you know, usually when I came for a sales meeting, so usually we 99% of the times we sat with the CEO and the owner. Sometimes it was the same person. And they used to sell to tell us, hey, I know I can sell good on eBay, for example, because I sell sunglasses and I got prepared for the meeting with you. And I just found out that these sunglasses were sold in eBay for $80 and I buy it for $20 when it comes for branded sunglasses, for example. And then I usually told them, hey, hold on. You saw someone that offered those sunglasses for $80. First of all, you don't know if it was sold at all. Secondly, in eBay, for example, you have what they call the best offer mechanism. So you don't know if maybe it was sold, but for $60. Then you have no clue about the expenses of selling this product to be able to send it over to the end user. You don't know how your return rate is going to look like. You don't know and about compensations you will have to pay for people that will tell you, hey, I'm going to leave you a negative feedback. So there are so many factors out there. Therefore, when you start your own business plan, you need to take care of any one of the factors I mentioned, and much more. Taxes are one of them. So if it's $30 or 30.9 or 29, this is less relevant as long as you understand there are taxes, you understand the taxes, the range of the taxes cost, and you understand that your market research, if you're going to analyze the specific markets, should include taxes as well. Same for logistics, by the way. We provide, since we have the product dimensions and the box dimensions, we also provide shipping estimations. Also, it's an estimation because I can't tell you in advance where your end user is going to ask you to ship his product, right? Is he going to ship it? Is he going to ask you to ship it for his office in Manhattan or maybe to his home in New Jersey? But I can give you a pretty accurate estimation of the shipping cost. So if it's going to take to cost you another 20 cents, this is not interesting, right? What's interesting is that you know how much you're going to pay, give or take, on this logistic process.
Yeah, great. So again, once again, you're just pushing it back towards the idea that you really have to know all the details. And it's a very good point. Just because you see somebody offering something for a certain price, doesn't mean that they're actually selling it for that. I mean, if you use most of the research tools on Amazon, you can normally see if people have actually been selling it at a certain price. And I think there's normally only a few price points that is really significant in the market, right? Because if it's not selling, then it doesn't really matter what they think the price is. It's not real.
You're right. And in this point, I just want to share with you and with your listeners, but it's a secret, a new feature we're about to deploy to release within a few weeks. It would be, we didn't name this feature yet, so it's a really new, but it will be like an Amazon store audit. Just imagine you see one of your competitors that you believe is doing pretty well. Like we said, we don't know if they sell, what they sell. And you see that this competitor, he has like, I don't know, 200 or 300 products or perhaps 1,000 products. And you want to know, what's going on? What products he was able to sell? What's not? You know, like to be able to analyze like an X-ray of his Amazon store. So you will be able to provide AlgoPix with the store URL, and you will get a detailed report in on a product level analysis that will tell you exactly which products he was able to sell, the expenses breakdown, number, everything you need to know. So this will be amazing, and we'll be able to share with you once it will be released. Perhaps it will be released even 1 or 2 weeks after this interview will be released as well.
Great. Well, we'll keep people informed. And if you want to hear more or read the show notes from this episode, just go to amazingfba.com/algopics. That's ALGO as an algorithm, PIX, right? That's the correct spelling, algopics.
Yep.
So another question that comes up is this, that obviously for new people or newbies or startups, whatever you want to call them, but product research or market research is a critical thing and people spend hours obsessing about it. Now, that can be the idea amongst established sellers that they no longer need to do market research. So what's your response to that? Do you think established sellers can just get on with logistics and marketing and sales, or do they need to be doing market research as well still?
Okay, from my experience and from our experience, both new and established sellers need to perform market research, because let's talk about established sellers, because we all agree that new sellers must use a market research tool. So an established seller would like to analyze his existing inventory and to see in what other markets he can sell. Establishing an existing seller would like to analyze different products that are being sold by his competitors. So if the first use case was international expansion, the second use case is competitive analysis. And of course, an existing seller would like to renew his inventory and to source or produce new products, because, you know, even Apple, which they produce new products every X months, right? So as a seller, if you're a reseller, you usually get price list on a daily basis, at least 2-3 times a week, because this is your business. You're scouting for new opportunities. You want to know what works best. Like you said before, the 20-80, the Pareto principle, and to be able to sort out only products that you will be able to sell with a great profit and source it. So this is for resellers. For private label sellers, you always want to have a new line of products, right? So even for existing sellers, they can use and they should use market research tools in order to make sure in the top of the game, make sure they source or produce the right products, analyze their competitors, because, you know, marketplaces, eBay, Amazon, Walmart, it's a jungle. We have many changes, both from both by sellers and both by the marketplaces that occurs on a weekly or monthly basis, and you want to know and to be able to, you have the most up-to-date information. Of course, for pricing, it helps you to price yourself better. So as far as it's concerned to me, and listeners are more than welcome to visit AlgoPics, to see our AlgoPics College section, which contains lots of content, including case studies. And in this case study section, you can read about real people from real companies who sell a lot of products. Some of them has like 40,000 products, and they are active sellers in Amazon, on Amazon like from 2002 or 3, and they use AlgoPics, and they say, we use AlgoPics on a daily basis. And by the way, speaking of that, so the AlgoPics has in addition to what I just mentioned, AlgoPics has the following. First of all, we understand that many times you would like to analyze more than 1, 2, 3 products. What happens if you want to analyze 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 products? What will you do? So for that, AlgoPics has a great feature that allows you to upload the Excel spreadsheet with up to 3,000 products at once and get all of your products analyzed at once. This is one thing. In addition, we developed a unique identification process where we know how to find any product and by any identifier on different markets. So the data we provide is very accurate, and it takes us less than 10 seconds to analyze a single product. In addition, we have our API. So this is the place to mention that we also provide API access. This is especially interesting for larger businesses who need to analyze many products in real time, usually on a daily basis. So this is another angle of my answer to your question. Big companies who are already selling online but do need to perform market research on a daily basis.
Great. And I suppose that's one of the ways that differentiates AlgoPics from the other sort of research tools out there, which are more geared it seems, to people who are just starting out and who want to find the magic product or products rather than, you know, working in bulk, which is, yeah, being able to scale things is always one of the biggest issues once you've got a significant number of SKUs. Yeah, there's great stuff. How do people find out more about AlgaPix? And I've already mentioned the link we'll put in there. You have some case studies. Are there any sort of other ways that you know of that people can find out about AlgaPix?
To find out everything about us, just head to our website, algopix.com. You might also find our blog interesting. It's all about e-commerce, where we gather useful tips and resources. And we also recently published an ebook about how to get started on selling on Amazon, and of course have our own YouTube channel. In addition, we have many freebies, like free tools to convert between UPC to EAN, EAN to ASIN, and vice versa. And I think AlgaPix provides a great knowledge information for e-commerce sellers.
Great. And one thing we can say is that we are going to be creating a walkthrough of your tool for Amazing FBA listeners. So if you go to amazingfba.com/AlgaPix, if you think this might be a tool but you're not sure that you want to use, then we will put the walkthrough there. And it'll also be on YouTube as well. If you're watching on YouTube, or in fact, if you're listening to the podcast, pop over to the Amazing FBA YouTube channel and you can find it there as well. So we will be going through that in detail, and be interesting to see exactly how the software works. So for the moment then, for the listeners, any final simple one or two pieces of advice for private label sellers specifically, which is our main focus here, who are wanting to expand their product lines? What's your main sort of most general advice, thinking back to your agency days?
Well, if you want to expand your inventory and are already working with suppliers, I can only recommend to try out our bulk analysis. As I mentioned before, you can analyze up to 3,000 products at a time, so you can easily upload the price quote or any other product list you received to get the insights I was talking about. And if you're looking to expand into new niches and want to browse market opportunities, the product AlgaPix product discovery tool is the right thing for you, because if you're looking for new niche and opportunities, you often don't have some specific products in mind yet, right? So here you can search with broad product keywords and see a relevant listing to get a quick overview. You can take your analysis further for the products you were interested in with the insights we provide. One last thing, we also prepared something special for Amazing FBA listeners. Your listeners will get a full AlgaPix analysis of their entire Amazon inventory for free. This is perfect to identify which marketplaces across the globe yield the best profits for their inventory. All they have to do is to contact us and mention Amazon FBA in the queries title. We get it done for them for free.
Wow, that's a really helpful offer, because that sort of analysis can be either take a lot of time and effort if the CEO of a small business is still doing that stuff, or yeah, if you're going to pay somebody to do that, it's going to be enormous pain. So that's a really valuable bonus. And just again, if you contact AlgaPix direct, just mention Amazing FBA, or you can go straight there from the website. We'll put a link at amazingfba.com/AlgaPix. So, Danny, thanks so much for taking the time to come on today, and all the way from Israel. We've got guests from all over the world. Israel, we've had a couple of guys from a couple of times, but different from the US perspective. Very interesting that you've got quite a connection to the USA and Europe from what you've been saying. So I guess you have a real overview of how this stuff works, and your software has been built in response to really a genuine understanding of the market and what people need. So very reassuring. Thanks so much for coming on, and have a great day in Israel.
Thank you, Michael. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope that your listeners will find AlgaPix interesting, and hopefully if someone learned at least one thing from this interview, so it was worth everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.